I know that when we went to recover my dad's van, he and my brother were sitting in the bushes waiting for the driver to show up with the van. So it sounds typical after what he's done to you that he'd be sort of stalking the place out, right? He was doing the same thing with my dad's van, waiting for the van to show up, right? So it's not out of character for him. After I heard the story about what he did to you, then it made sense what he was, you know, what...
He was arrested with a gun behind my
house. He was arrested? Was he charged?
Yeah, I was charged, but they must have done something with him or to him, because I have never heard another thing from him.
Oh, okay. Maybe he threatened, or did they put a no contact maybe in place?
Well, there was at the time already.
Oh, there was at the time.
Yeah.
And he broke that, and he was found with a shotgun in your backyard?
Behind my house here.
Well, how come they didn't charge him?
Well, he got charged.
Oh, I'm sorry. But nothing happened, right?
Well, they must have done something, because he has never been near me. You know?
Okay, so maybe what they did is they came to an agreement whereby he agreed to not to stalk you anymore, otherwise they would reinstate the charge, maybe.
Yeah.
That's probably what they did, I think, eh? Because if they charged him, eh? They came out and they... They arrested him, eh? So that was like 23 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah, that was longer than this, about 25 years ago.
25 years, okay. And now, like I say, Mike's on Crime Watch, so he's not an exactly a very good representation of Crime Watch, right?
Takes a crook to catch a crook.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he's reporting everybody in sight since then, eh?
Oh.
He spends his time reporting.
Our kids aren't even safe.
No?
No.
Does he harass them?
Oh, no, not for a long, long time anymore, either. You know? But in the beginning, oh, my goodness.
He was stalking them and harassing them?
He would report everything to the police.
Oh, right. Well, apparently you reported one son for growing pot on the farm, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he told me about that, and I said, well, I don't know if I would go that far, Mike. That's a little bit much, eh?
Well, that's how this actually happened. Because he was living here with me, and he wanted me to go back to the farm with him, and I said, no, I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Uh-huh.
And then he said, then I'm going to, then we found out about this, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And I refused to go to the farm with him. And then he says, then I'm going to report Harold for growing marijuana on the farm. And I said, well, you do that. And I says, I'll never want to see you again.
Oh, Mike wanted you to go back and live on the farm.
Yeah. And I wanted to go there to destroy that stuff and tell these kids, you know.
That they might get reported, right?
No, but that you can't do. In those days, everybody, a lot of people were doing that, young people, you know.
Yeah.
Just horsing around.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why he reported him was because he thought I'd have to come to the farm with him, you know, like, and I, you know. And I said, no way, I will go there, you know, and destroy all the stuff and read the kids the riots act.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you don't come back with me, I'm going to report him. And exactly what he did.
Oh, jeez. So he used your son against you is what he did.
No, he used me.
Oh, yeah.
To get me to come back to the farm.
And it didn't work.
I wasn't going to go there anymore. Never, ever.
And you didn't, right?
No, I stood my ground, and I offered to go with him to destroy all that junk.
Right.
You know? And then tell the kids, you know, like, you can't ever do that again, because you can't live there if that's what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
But he went, and he went around. reported it.
So what happened to Harold?
Nothing.
Nothing?
The judge threw it all out and he said, I've never seen a father do that to his son.
Really, eh? But the judge knew why he did it, right?
Pardon?
Did the judge know why Mike reported Harold?
Yeah, he probably found out.
Yeah. So he was using that to try to get you back, and it didn't work, eh?
To try to calm me back.
Mm-hmm. And you left Mike, why? Because was he abusive, or what was...
Oh, totally.
Controlling, probably, right?
Controlling?
Yes.
He would let me in the house sometimes after work, come home in the middle of the night, and like after my shift, he wouldn't let me come in the house.
Oh, so you were working?
I worked at the Manitoba school.
At the Manitoba school?
One time, you know, like it's, he went and got my car at the Manitoba school.
Yes.
You know, left me sitting there without a car.
Oh, really? And what did you do at Manitoba school?
Pardon?
What type of work did you do there?
I was a nurse aide there.
Oh, okay, because when you said shift work, I thought, you know, you must have worked nights and you're probably a nurse, eh?
Yeah.
So, and that's in Portage, isn't it? Manitoba School?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he went there one time.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the night and picked up my car.
Well, why did he do that?
He hitchhiked, you know.
So he didn't want you to have a car?
No, he didn't want me to come home.
He didn't want you to come home?
No. That's, you know, nobody knows what he was all about.
Well, that didn't make much sense.
No.
And it could have been winter, too, you know, as far as that goes, right?
Yeah. And the first, like, we had a stillborn baby, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And the first time I went back to church on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I couldn't get the car started, you know, because he never looked after anything. So after church, I couldn't get the car started.
Right.
So the gardener said to me, come on, Willie, we'll bring you home. So I went home.
Mm-hmm.
Got home, and I was not allowed to go in the house because I didn't bring the car back with me. And it was middle in the winter, so I had to walk back to where my parents lived. And inform somebody, you know.
Oh, because you couldn't get in the house.
And he wouldn't let me in the house.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not your fault the car didn't start.
Absolutely. And that was the first time I went back to church after my baby had died.
Oh.
No?
Yeah. Why didn't Mike go to church?
Well, he would go to late mass if he went.
Oh, and you went earlier.
Yeah, I always went earlier. Then I got and I took some kids with me. And then the late mass, he went with the rest, you know?
He didn't do it as a family thing. You're supposed to go as a family, right?
Well, it was for us. When I had been to church on Sunday mornings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I usually come home and then I made breakfast for everybody, you know.
Oh yeah, okay.
And it's because it was Sunday morning.
Yeah, and you probably had some really young children too, so they don't always want to go to church, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense, but.
And I had foster children, and that worked out the best for me. But I didn't bring the car back, the station wagon,
mm-hmm.
because it didn't want to start. It was so cold, and.
Well, that's just mean,
Yeah, that was mean.
Yeah, and not only that, it's supposed to be reliable because it's winter time.
Well, I could tell you a lot more stuff. One time I took the kids to the dentist, and he didn't want me to take the kids to the dentist. Because he said they should have false teeth by the time they're 16, 17.
What? That's ridiculous.
They should have false teeth by then.
That's crazy.
So, well, I knew better than that, you know, so I took the kids to the dentist.
Uh-huh. Oh. Yeah.
So, was at the dentist with all my own kids, my foster kids, you know?
Right.
And they all had appointments.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids looked outside and they said, Mom, Dad's taking the car with him.
He took the car away.
Took the car away, left me with all the foster kids and
And how are you supposed to get back home?
Well, he didn't want me to come home.
Oh, my God. So this was an ongoing saga with him?
All the time. He was trying to break me down.
Why? You've got to run errands. You've got to look after the kids. What's his problem, right?
Yeah. No, well, I shouldn't be... he believed me being in the kitchen with barefoot and...
Pregnant.
Pregnant, which I was quite often.
Yeah, but come on. If he didn't want to take the kids to the dentist, somebody's got to do it, right?
Yeah, but he didn't. Oh, no way. Like, there was no way he would believe in that.
Yeah, well, you got to look after your family.
Yeah, but if you believe that the kids are going to have false dentures...
At that age, yeah, come on.
You know... Then that doesn't happen nowadays anymore.
No, that's for sure. He just didn't want to... He didn't want to spend the money.
No.
And that's why he got to be a tightwad the way he is, right? The place is apparently run down quite a bit, isn't it? The house?
No idea. I think it is... There's nothing left of it.
Yeah, I know. And he recycles his water, Dad was saying, from the tub to the toilet, and you know, empties the septic on them in the garden. You know, just dumb things to save money.
Yeah, but it's also really backwards.
Oh well, yeah, it's backwards. That's for sure. That doesn't make any sense, right? I don't know.
Anyways, I'm very happy that my kids are all doing very well, regardless.
Right.
My kids are all doing very well regardless.
Regardless of their father.
Yeah.
Well, and that's good. And I'm really happy that the judge threw it out when they knew what Mike was all about, right?
Yeah.
So did he have a violent temper too? Was he abusive that way too?
Well, he was a weird guy.
Weird ideas, eh? I wonder if it's because he comes from the old country, or that's just Mike, I guess, right? That's just his nature, right?
And you know what? I was such a happy-go-lucky person. All the things that happened to me, I could always work through them, you know, and start all over again. And
that's good. You didn't let him drag you down, eh?
And, you know, until it was enough. All the kids were thrown out of the house, you know, and my third one, he threw her out. And I said, well, the two oldest ones were already in foster care.
Your oldest ones were in foster care?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, he threw them out of the house.
Why?
Well, they cost money when they're teenagers.
Who is that?
They cost money.
Oh, it costs money. Oh, my God.
He beat the shit out of Marianne, the oldest one.
He beat up the oldest daughter?
Really, really bad.
Really, eh?
So I picked up all the pieces. It was, and I had to come from work because I was working the late shift.
Okay, uh-huh.
And the... He had phoned the money to the school that I better come home, otherwise I would find a corpse on the floor.
He said that?
Yeah.
Oh my God. He's mentally unstable, isn't he? That doesn't sound like someone that's all there.
Pardon?
It sounds like he's a little unstable if he says that.
He has very, very weird ideas, you know, about things, how they should be.
Yeah, Dad noticed that. Like, for example, instead of using detergent for dishes, he uses Javex, and he does weird things. He boils the water on the stove instead of using hot water, costs just as much to heat the water as it does to use hot water.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not the way he does it, right? And I think he likes to
heat. I used to have to melt some snow all winter long to do my wash. And I had the foster kids. I always had about 7 kids, my own and then foster kids. And I had to melt snow and melt snow and melt snow so I'd have enough water to wash to do the wash, because the water from the well is so hard that you can't wash with it.
Oh, and he didn't have a cistern then, I guess, eh?
He had a cistern, but he didn't want to fill it up.
Oh, because that costs money?
Yeah. So I melted snow and melted snow, brought snow in all the time.
Oh my gosh, he wanted you really to work for everything, didn't he?
Oh, I worked.
And you worked outside the house and raised kids. Like, that's a full-time job, just raising kids, let alone working outside the
house. I helped on the yard all the time, and I was in the field. And, but you know what? I was always a happy person. He was never able to get me down.
Good for you. And he didn't like that.
And when the kids got kicked out of the house, you know, then I said, I'm going to Winnipeg and build the kids a home.
Good for you.
There is 3 of them gone now. I says, and there's 3 now on the road, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but they're going to have a home. I'm going to Winnipeg and build them a home. And I did.
And he didn't help financially at all, right? He didn't want to give you anything.
Totally nothing.
But how come the judge allowed that? When it's
Look, when we got divorced, you know,
yes.
He took me out of everything. He had old bills, you know, that work was done when we were still married.
Yes.
Long before this happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he claimed them all to have spent that money while I was gone.
But there should have been a date?
Yeah, they were all
Did he change the date on them, or?
He changed. Such a crook, he did that. And I said, and my lawyer says, Willie, you can fight it, but I cost $80 an hour. And so I took what I could get, and I built my kids a home.
Wow. No kidding. And Mike brags about what he's worth today and how much money he's gotten, all this.
And he should help me a little bit, too.
Yeah, well, he said he gave away $50,000 to a charity so he wouldn't pay income tax. Now, I don't know. I have also learned that Mike doesn't always tell you the truth, so I don't know. But that's what he said.
Such a good man.
Yeah, no kidding, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he spends his time reporting people and creating problems, and he did with Dad. Like, he was going to help Dad get back in his home. He was willing to spend $20,000 against my brother, but he wanted to make peace in the family and get everybody together. Well, that didn't work. I mean, we told him it would not work. And my brother showed up with a psychiatrist on the farm when Mike drove him there. And then before the end of the evening, my brother had Mike eating out of his hand. And turned against Dad, and they locked up his van and took away his cellular and wouldn't let him go anywhere. And my brother wanted Mike to be power of attorney for my dad. They went to his bank, they went around, and they wouldn't let him talk to anybody, and they wanted him to fire his lawyer, and my dad refused. So eventually it got to be too much. Like, we knew Dad was basically a prisoner at Mike's, eh? So that's when the lawyer decided to bring in some private investigators to pull my dad out of Mike's.
Clutches.
Yeah, that's right. Mike and my brother. Or you see, Mike was going to go against my brother, and he thought he was a snake and this and that. And first thing you know, after 5 hours of meetings, my brother's got Mike eating out of the palm of his hand and turned right against Dad. And now he says he doesn't give a darn about my dad's life estate, but yet Mike has a life estate, so it's okay for Mike, but it's not okay for my dad. So he's caused a lot of problems. Anyways, he's got my dad's passport and kills and...
Still has?
Yeah, he still has that. He won't release it. Keys to the post office and keys to the van, and he still has his one van locked up. And then he said that he was throwing my dad's stuff out into the snow during the winter. I don't think he did that. Like, you can never believe anything he says. But he won't release it. And keeps lying, saying the RCMP have been there and the RCMP know it, and he wants $5,400 from my father. So, and he won't present him with a bill for anything. And he says for taking care of him for 2 months. You see what happened? Mike made Dad fill up his truck with fuel, and the next morning Mike noticed that the hose had split or whatever, and it had leaked the fuel. So he's trying to charge my dad $3,000 for the old hose that leaked. Meanwhile, he was the one that asked Dad to fill up his vehicle, and it was an old hose that should have been changed. And you should put the safety on, like the shutoff valve. And my dad told Mike, well, it's not on. Like, I'd like to shut it off. And Mike says, no, I've never shut it off in 30 years. Well, it leaked. And now he's trying to charge Dad $3,000 for his fuel. But the minute that it happened, then he went out and replaced those hoses. Because, I mean, the hoses were really old. So sooner or later, they were going to split, right?
But, Marlene, can't you get an investigator?
What do you mean, an investigator to...
investigate all this stuff?
Well, Dad, because he couldn't get his van or anything, advised the Department of Environment. And they went and checked out Mike. So Mike was sweating there, and I don't know what happened, but... It sounds like Mike got away with it again.
But he
seems to be very good at that. And he's got the RCMP, one of them that he works with, very closely. So who knows what's going on, right? He's got them conned. But mind you, they're getting tired of his shenanigans because he went and reported John Lafreniere next door for supposedly growing pot when there was nothing going on. But he had the RCMP go check him out, right? And the RCMP said, well, we're on another wild goose chase, one of Mike's wild goose chases again, right? So I think Mike spends his time reporting people and, you know, trying to create problems with people.
Okay. Last year?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, this last summer. He's been saying that my brother... had told him that he would allow my dad back in his home, and now he was reneging on it, and that this was the worst thing anybody could do to their father. And now he's turned around and says he doesn't care about the life estate that Dad has, and won't release the van or his property, and basically is saying that Dad can stay in the seniors complex in Santa Stash, and to heck with his property, with his home, right? So he did a complete 360 on my dad. So, but anyways, that's just Mike. But what he told us was that he was going back to Holland for a couple of weeks, and we wanted to send something out to him over there.
Yeah.
To get him thinking a little bit, because, well, Dad's scheduled to go back to court shortly, so we just want to make sure we've got Mike in line.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's Mr. Goody Two Shoes, and yet he breaks every rule that there is out there and reports everybody for not doing what's right.
Just looking in my stuff, because basically, Marlene, you may as well know it. We are afraid of him.
Okay, yeah, you're afraid of him, eh?
Yeah. And the kids are even more afraid.
Did they tell this to the police?
Pardon?
Did they tell this to the police?
I have no idea. But the kids are so scared.
That he might come around, right?
Yeah, and what will he do?
Well, like I said, if he kicked them out of the house just because he didn't want to support them, that's pretty darn bad right there.
It didn't matter what the kids did. The kids are kids. They all grow up with shenanigans.
Yeah, that's normal.
But they were good kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that marijuana bit there on the farm, too, you know, that was just a farce. The judge at the end says, you know.
Oh, the marijuana, when Mike turned them in, right?
Yeah.
It was probably two, three plants anyways. It was probably...
It was just... there was a bunch of kids living there, you know, about four or five boys.
Yeah.
And they had started to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they took a couple of pig troughs, you know, out of the pig barn.
Oh, yeah, right.
Put some soil in it and a light over it, and here they were growing marijuana. And in those days, Marlene, there was a lot of that going on in that area, and Eli and everywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Nowadays, you know, you better not.
Right.
But in those days, you know?
It was like growing moonshine, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they had to try something, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad the judge threw it out.
Yeah. But, you know, Harold was scared. He was so scared. And
he wasn't very old at the time, was he?
No, he was maybe 16, 17.
Oh, man, that's young. Yeah, what you do is you take the plants away and you have a...
Oh, he had graduated.
Okay, so he might have been 18.
He made it from school.
Mm-hmm.
And he was living on the farm because he was going to college in Thunder Bay. And that summer he lived on the farm, you know, because I had gone. I was already out of the picture.
Right, okay.
You know, and Mike was living with me. That was why Harold was living there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Harold was going to the college in Thunder Bay to become an aeronautical mechanic. So, while he was waiting to go to school, you know,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of other boys lived there too. So, and I wanted to go there and throw everything out. And tell these guys the riot act, you know?
Yeah, read him the riot act to stop.
Yeah. Mike said, no. He says, if you don't come back with me to the farm, he says, I'm going to report him.
Wow. Is that when he decided to start?
But why wasn't a cop smart enough to realize what Mike was actually doing?
But that's just it. He covers what his real motives are, right?
Yeah.
He's good at that. He makes it look like he's concerned about his son. Meanwhile, there's an agenda, a hidden agenda there, right?
Well, I'm still trying to... Just a minute. I'm going to see someone else. It's been a long time ago, Marlene, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get through some stuff here that... Just a minute, I'm going to... But don't you ever get me involved there, Marlene.
No, you're fine. I won't do that. That's for sure.
He's going to hang me. You know?
No, I won't. Because if he's been out and he's been warned not to go near you...
Yeah.
But you're concerned about your safety just the same, right?
Absolutely. Because he hasn't been near me ever since, you know? So, because he used to always follow me. I couldn't even be in a store. I couldn't do anything, you know?
He was phoning or following you, right?
Or at work, I had police protection. They would stand outside of the school that where I worked.
Are you serious?
I came into Winnipeg.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. So they took his threat seriously then, obviously.
Absolutely.
Well,
if
you're there with a shotgun, obviously your motives, your intentions aren't honorable, right?
So, and I know he must have been really mixed up and kind of crazy, but I have a right, and he can't destroy me.
No, that's for sure.
You have no right to destroy anybody.
That's right.
So, and the police were there for a while. They were by the school all the time, and I, you know, to make sure that I was safe going into the school.
And that he wasn't tampering with your vehicle either, right?
That was another thing.
Because if he was stealing your vehicle, then, you know, he could do it again.
He did that when I was still on the farm.
Yeah. But after that, if you've
talked to anybody since that, they knew how hard I worked, and they knew that I had many children, foster children, and they also knew that I went to church one winter, like after my stillborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I come home, and he wouldn't let me in the house.
That is so mean.
Yeah.
That's when you should have left him, right?
Well, but that wasn't coming into my mind yet.
No. It takes a while before it...
That wasn't totally not coming in my mind. I always kind of tell myself, well, he's kind of nuts anyways. You know.
Well, there's nuts and then there's dangerous, right?
Pardon?
There's nuts and then there's being dangerous, right?
Yeah.
And he's off the wall a bit that way, I think, too.
He's pretty crazy.
Yeah, because he...
I'll talk somewhere else, okay?
Okay. Investigators to get my dad out of that situation. because Mike didn't care. He's just concerned about the money my brother was going to give him. And my brother is more interested in trying to commit my dad when there's absolutely nothing wrong with my dad. He just doesn't want my dad going back in his home. My dad has a life estate agreement with my brother, same as Mike. But now Mike doesn't care about my dad's agreement with my brother. He just, you know, he's out for himself now. So...
a mess.
Yeah, so we'll get it straightened around, but...
I'm sure, Marlene, because he is coming back here again, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back. Right, but we just wanted to cause him a little bit of grief over there while he's there.
I know how you feel, and I know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we sort of thought he was a bit weird, but now you've just confirmed what we already suspected because of the way he's been acting. That's not normal, so... And everything is so he can save a penny. And he breaks the law so he can save a penny, but everybody else he reports.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, totally, you know.
Yeah. Like, he reported, I know it was him that reported Dad to try to get his license taken away from him so that he wouldn't be able to drive anymore, right? So he's been playing games. And he said that the only way Dad would be going back to Manitoba is in a box, a pine box.
Yeah.
So that's pretty darn bad.
Well, I'm glad that he's safe and
mm-hmm.
that you have a bit of a control over the situation.
Yeah, we do now. Yes.
Yeah.
And we're just concerned when he goes back, but we'll have to put checks and balances in place at that time.
The brother will.
We're going to have to try to get a no contact against the brother, yes. Because he's the one that evicted my dad out of this, and that's the reason my dad...
I believe, you know, I feel so bad when that happens to us, an old man.
Yeah, a senior. He's 85. He doesn't deserve this.
Oh.
It's been ongoing for 3 years now. Yeah, so it's not a good situation. It's been dragging on.
And how many grandchildren does he have?
24.
Yeah, and then he is being treated like that by his...
By his own kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now Mike's on board. But Mike's, I think he's feeling the wrath of the people in town. They're all against Mike for what he did to my dad, eh? But I don't think that fizz is on Mike. I don't think he's got a conscience anyways. So he's blaming Dad for all his problems. You know, where people aren't being friendly with him and don't want anything to do with him again, right?
Awful.
Yeah, so we'll work this out. So, no, I appreciate all your information.
I don't understand that it never ends. You know, like with our kids, do what they have gone through already. But if they were working somewhere, he would make sure, you know, that he would get his ass in there somehow. And then he would tell them what a bad kids they are. You know, they shouldn't be working for them.
Oh, he would go up to the employers?
Yeah.
Oh, and say that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that they would have a hard time keeping a job?
So he was trying to make them dependent on him. You know?
Okay, so he's a control freak, right?
Yeah,
Instead of encouraging his children, he's working against them, right?
But see, he hasn't been in their lives for so long now that my kids, you know, don't even want to go near anything that he is at.
Oh, the kids don't want to, or?
No, the kids don't. They're so scared that, you know, that he might do something again.
Really, eh?
To destroy them. It's always to destroy them and to make himself look good.
But really, it's not making him look good, is it?
Yeah, but that's what he thinks at the end, you know? When he destroys something and he builds it up again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you say, oh, Mike, he wasn't all that bad, you know? He did this or that, you know?
Well, that's what he did with my dad. He came in as a hero to save my dad and to help him get into his home again. And he was prepared to spend $20,000 to go against my brother.
Yeah.
And then he started getting, Dad said he started treating him really mean. And then he wanted to get the family together, like the girls and my brother. Well, they're the ones who kicked my dad out. Why would you even want to try to get them together? They've already shown what they're doing. You know, what's the sense in doing that?
You can't trust them. And the minute they did, they, you know, they're trying to hobnob to my dad to make themselves look good, but that only works with one sister. Meanwhile, my brother's at Mike's place, and they're going through all this paperwork and everything. It was just an excuse to get him out of there. And then when they stopped at my sister's on the way back to Mike's, my sister's husband said, you're not welcome in this house anymore. And all my sister did was give him heck and for having left in the first place and having any contact with me. So she just went up one side of him and down the other. So they're not nice people. And Mike's trying to get this family, so he called family together. Well, I'm part of the family, Mike, and you knew what they had done all along, and you disagreed with how they were treating my dad. So why is it you have a change of heart? Like, where's your morals, right? So he's...
Oh, it's going to get straightened out.
Yeah, it'll get straightened around.
Yeah.
Shortly. And, but... You know, we won't have anything to do with Mike after this is all said and done. My dad gets his property out of there. Like, Mike can stay in Holland for all we care, right?
Yeah, that would be really peaceful.
That's what we say. We'll give a one-way ticket to Holland and he can stay there.
And all his money, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And if he was in his right mind, you know, and had a little bit of a heart, he would give me some of that.
Exactly, because you earned it and you worked for it.
You worked so hard.
Yeah, because he's just going to leave it to charity anyways.
I had miscarriages. You know, I had a stillborn baby. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So many problems because I was working too hard.
Wow. And he was...
One year, our farm ran on the water, and I cooked for a construction gang on the farm. And only on one stove, and I fed 35 men.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had no income, no whatsoever, because there was no crop, and in those days, you didn't get paid either, you know?
Oh, right, no crop insurance.
So, yeah, if you couldn't have crop insurance because we couldn't seed.
Right, right.
You know, and that year we had nothing, absolutely nothing.
So you were the one working.
And I cooked for a construction outfit, besides having the foster kids.
Wow.
And, you know.
What did Mike do to bring in income?
I always went to Winnipeg for coffee.
he was doing that in those days, right?
Yeah, and he, you know, like, he leave about 10 o'clock in the morning, and he never come home until about 11 o'clock at night to watch the news.
No, and he wasn't helping bring in money.
No.
Wow. That's not much of a husband or a father, is it?
Well, he had no idea what his role was, actually. He was a truck driver to start with, and he should have stayed to be a truck driver.
Oh, that's right, too. He was telling me that, eh? Why did he stop truck driving?
Well, he wanted to be home, and he didn't want to work for anybody else.
Oh.
So, and at that time, we had accumulated already a house. We had built a house already.
Right.
And he owned a tractor trailer.
Right.
So we sold both of them to buy the farm.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So then we bought the farm. The farm. But we needed money to start. We needed machinery and all that.
Right.
And we tried to get money from the government to buy machinery, but they wouldn't give it to him because he wasn't a farmer.
Oh, okay.
He was a truck driver.
Okay.
We went to a private company and borrowed money from them,
mm-hmm.
buy all the equipment. And that put us in debt for a long time because, you know, they charge so much interest.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
But, you know, nothing fazed me.
Mm-hmm.
I just went happily working and working.
And yet he didn't want to give you anything when you left, and he kept everything.
I got a share of it, but that wasn't even anywhere near what I should have got.
Right.
So.
He wasn't fair at all.
No. But I know he hates me, and I know he has, you know, if he could get rid of me anytime, he would do it.
So he's
Because I'm his wife as far as he is concerned, and I should be with him.
Oh, I see. That possessive, yeah. Right. Like he owns you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, that's wrong.
Yeah.
So I can see where you're coming from and where the kids are coming from. They don't want anything to do with him.
The kids are so sad, and they're so scared. And like as I said, I kind of trying to coach them along a little bit to, you know, to start getting into the dad's life a little bit, because he's getting a little older too.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, because he'll cause problems in their lives. He does that with everyone, so maybe they're the smart ones.
Yeah.
I think they are. There's no point unless he changes to get involved.
And so far, he's always one in a stupid ways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who he is that gives them all, you know, gives them all that
ideas
that he can do that.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah, he does things weird. He does. It doesn't make any sense.
And that's what he does. He destroys his first, and then he builds a person up.
Wow. With resentment, of course, right? The person resents it.
No, but you destroy a person first, which he couldn't do me. I couldn't be destroyed. I just, you know, I took off and I stayed where I was. Stayed around.
Good for you. Good, good. Oh, he must have resented that for sure.
Yeah.
And Harold paid the price.
Oh, yeah. And Reg too. Reg, they couldn't even be on the road, or the police would stop them because somebody had reported them driving with four in a cab.
Oh no, and that was Mike doing that, eh?
Yeah, or having a little bit too much to drink, and in those days people did that, you know. Like I don't say that was a good thing. That's a bad thing.
Right, but
in those days, we used to go curling at Santa Stars, you know. Everybody had a couple of drinks and, you know.
Right, exactly.
And we'd curl and, you know, we'd have a Mickey on each end of the, you know.
And he would report them. That's not right.
So, and every time it happened. And I don't know who these cops are that were in cahoots with him, thinking that he was doing a good thing.
Because he had them convinced, right?
Pardon?
He had the police convinced.
Yeah, totally, because they were his friends.
Well, I know he has a friend right now he goes for dinner often, a Chinese friend down the road. You probably don't know him because he's, you know, you've been gone for so long, but I, from what I understand, that's who he's been chumming around with, so.
Probably a stranger.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. And then John Stewart, was he there in your days, the lawyer next door?
Yeah, no, he was not there in our days.
No, he wasn't, eh?
No.
Okay, it sounds like Mike goes over there for a lot of information, free information all the time.
Oh, that's probably where he gets all these.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're neighbors, and Mike's very fond of the girls. Like, I think there's twins or triplets, something like that. And he lets them use his truck all the time and takes them parasailing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And they're teenagers, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's calling them at least once or twice a day all the time. So, to me, that's a bit overkill. Like, I don't understand. Well, who knows what he's up to, right?
Oh, they probably inherit this fortune.
No, he said he's going to give it all to charity.
Bullshit.
I know. You sound like me, right? He'll take it. Knowing Mike, he'll take it with him, right? Right? He'll try to take his money with him?
Pardon?
Knowing Mike, he'll probably take his money with him.
Oh, I don't know what he will do. To bury it somewhere.
That's, yeah, take it with him, right? Yeah, that will bury it, right? That's funny, but it's naughty.
It's so sad.
Yeah, it was a sad situation. It's good that you came out okay, though. I mean, you left.
I'm a very strong. That's why I did survive on the farm. I worked so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so many foster children and, you know.
Right.
And
so you did all you could.
Look back, you know, that I can see I did that.
Yeah, exactly. And you're glad you got out of that situation because it was a lose-lose situation as far as it goes.
Awful.
Yeah, for you it was, there was no winning.
No.
Yeah. Well, it's
anyways.
Been, yeah, it's been really nice talking to you, Willie, so I wish you the best, okay? And I thank you for all your information.
A little bit too much.
Pardon me?
I gave you maybe a little bit too much information.
No, far from it. You just confirmed what I felt already, so now we don't have to have any sympathy for Mike at all. Because if that's the way he treats
you, people, were you having sympathy for him?
Far from it. Like, in other words, to decide how far we're going to go with Mike, like as far as shutting him down and, you know, putting him in his place, I'm not holding back because of what he's been doing to you and to other people, so.
Oh.
So it just confirms that.
Our kids, you know, he tries so hard to destroy them.
Wow.
He figured that my oldest daughter should be on the farm, you know, when she was, she didn't even have to graduate from high school, he said, because she could be on the farm.
Oh, he didn't want her leaving.
Oh, well, he thought they should all be on the farm and working.
Okay, he didn't want them educated or anything.
Education was not important or anything like that because they didn't need it anyways because they were farm people.
Well, they're not going to be farmers all their lives, for crumb's sakes, right?
Reg, my youngest son decided when we got divorced that he was going to live with his dad, and he was promised quite a bit of stuff, you know, if he would live with his dad. At the end, somebody got him out of there, and he didn't even have clothes on his back to wear.
No. So Mike wouldn't let him leave with anything, right?
No, and he still, like a couple of days ago, when I was trying to talk to the kids, go and see what the, you know, what their dad was all up to, and because he's going to be 80 years old in another year.
Right.
And I said, you know, you should look into him a little bit to see where he's at, and maybe he needs a little bit of help. And so my son said, you know what? He says, I'm still so angry that I'm afraid to come near him. You know?
And he had to get help to leave the farm, right?
Oh, yeah.
Same as my dad. Mike had him a prisoner in his own place. He wouldn't let him out.
He was a young boy. He was, how old would he have been? 18? And he had nothing. He had absolutely nothing. He didn't have a mind of his own anymore.
Oh, okay.
And it was the Adams, you know, like that used to own the furniture factory there.
Okay.
And he was friends with the daughter, you know, and they got him out of there. And Heinz gave him money to buy clothes and all that.
I guess they could see what was going on with Mike?
Totally.
Oh, really? And were they neighbors, or I don't know who these people are. Were they neighbors, or?
No, they own that white horse furniture.
Okay.
So, well, it's no longer there anymore because the old man died and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know.
They could see the situation Reg was in, so they went.
Oh, and they rescued him.
Wow. And so weren't they afraid of Mike?
Well, they always kept their eyes open.
No kidding, eh? Because Mike would have known who helped him, right?
Oh, yeah. But, of course, eventually he came around to having a really nice story. And.
Oh, I see. Because it wasn't Mike's fault. It was Reg's fault.
Oh, Reg was no good.
Yeah, okay. Well, that seems to be a theme, right?
Yeah.
I know. With that, he's trying to say that he's incompetent and that he can't drive and on and on and on, and that he's a slob. Oh, yeah, that was funny. He was saying that Dad was putting muffins under his bed. They're trying to make him look bad, right? And other things, that he wasn't clean. Well, the one who's not clean is Mike. It's not Dad.
As if he was so clean.
Well, this is just it. There's cobwebs and dust everywhere, and yet he was trying to say that Dad was the sloppy one, right? when that was the furthest thing from the case, right? But I mean, like you said, Mike has to try to make himself look good, right?
All the time, and he manages it all the time.
Yeah, and the minute Dad got to Vancouver after leaving the lawyer's office, the rumor Mike was spreading around town the next day was that my dad ended up in the hospital in B.C. And I said, what? Like, he makes up stories as he goes along, right? But that's pretty bad. He's trying to make it look like, you know, he ended up in the hospital when he got to B.C., so it's my fault that he's in the hospital, right? And I said, would you like to speak to him? I don't think he's in the hospital. He's quite all right. Would you like to speak to him? And they said, well, that Mike, he lied to us. I said, well, yeah, obviously. And he was really ticked off that the lawyer told him not to go to the office, that Dad could go there on his own and drive. And Mike insisted on driving him. And then when the lawyer took Dad out the back door, then Mike was royally ticked off because, you know, he wasn't supposed to let Dad out of his sight because Andy was going up and down driving Portage Avenue, right? And so, you know, Mike looked like an idiot to Andy, right? Because he was working for Andy. And I think the sum I heard was that Andy was going to pay him $5,000 for bringing Dad back to their side. That's the story I heard afterwards. So that's why, obviously, he didn't get paid because, you know, he lost Dad in the shuffle. And now he's after Dad for the $5,000, or $5,400 is what he wants from Dad. And yet he had begged Dad to go stay with him. And Dad even paid him $400 for rent for 1 month. And yet, you know, he had a small little room. He wasn't allowed to do anything. And Mike was chain smoking and, you know, wouldn't give him his freedom. Like, was like, and Mike made him vacuum and clean the house for him. And outside and clean the poop in the garage and everything, or in that shed, the dog, you know. So, you know, he had a paid servant. No, he didn't pay for a servant. In fact, Dad had to pay him to stay there, and Mike worked. And that's not a right thing to do either.
Well, that is so sad.
Yeah, so he hasn't changed his
type. I'm so sorry about that. I just can't.
He hasn't changed much. So, you know what? You did a good thing by leaving him.
I had to.
Yeah.
You know, like, he would have broken me down eventually.
Exactly.
Wasn't able to, but eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he did, you know, he tried awfully hard, right? But he did it with the kids, and they're more vulnerable, and he was doing it with Dad. He insisted on knowing all Dad's business, and if he didn't, his nose got out of joint.
Yeah.
And if he didn't reveal some stuff, financial stuff, Mike threatened to kick Dad out.
Yeah.
So it was like his way or the highway. So,
yeah, on the highway, yeah.
Yeah, because Dad was stuck in the middle, right? Yeah, he made him divulge everything, which wasn't Mike's business. Like, Mike's not going to tell him, show him his bank account and anything else he's done, right?
Hey, Marlene, did you know me?
No, because I moved out from Manitoba back in 1972, so I've been away from Manitoba a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know Mike. How I met Mike was in a coffee shop when I went there to help Dad. He was in the coffee shop, and that's how we got talking, and Mike told me he hated my brother's guts, and that's when I started picking up stories that a lot of farmers hated my brother, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, it was like I was a little embarrassed that he was my brother.
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, nothing's changed, because when he was a youngster, and I'm one of the oldest, every time I had to babysit him, he was being a little terror, and, you know, I would plead with Mom, like, take him with you. Like, they would go to weddings and socials, eh? And the minute they left the yard, my brother was acting up, and he caused big fights, like terrible fights with all the others. And he was violent, you know, he had a temper on him, like he wouldn't leave. So I guess he just grew up to have a bigger temper tantrum and always getting his way, right? And he knows how to con and manipulate people. That's what I found out. And I watched him at the RCMP.
Manipulated together.
Well, that's why him and Mike make a pairy. But when I first really got to know my brother is when I went to the RCMP station. And after my brother got charged for stealing our phones, we knew he wasn't going to give up. So we thought, we have to charge him because he's not stopping. He's going to kick Dad out of the place. Well, when I went in front of Sergeant Gibbs, I asked my brother, I said, well, you know, whose idea, like, why did you move Dad out? And he says, well, it wasn't my idea, it was the family. And I thought, you lying so-and-so. Then I knew, then I had his number. I thought, you know what? You're trying to make yourself look like a rose. And meanwhile, you're the one who caused all these problems, and you're trying to make me look bad, eh? So then I knew I had his number then. But of course, he had the RCMP convinced at that point. because the RCMP says, well, it's obvious you two don't get along. I says, get along? I don't know my brother. I haven't been here in 3 years, so what is there not to get along with? And then when we went to court in Portage, he told the judge that on the, I guess, the affidavit or the paper you present to have a no contact, he said that I was creating problems with him and his wife for a long time, and that, you know, they wanted me to have a psychiatric evaluation. And then when he was on the stand, his hand on the Bible, he said, no, he hadn't talked to me in about 3 years. So there you go. So, you know, if you check out your facts, you'll find out he's nothing but a liar and a manipulator, right? So, yeah, him and Mike make a good pair. So, you know, we're there to shut them both down and let Dad live peacefully.
Oh, that poor man, eh?
Yeah, so we're going to get him back. And now I really know Mike, and so I have a good idea how to deal with him as far as, you know, exposing what he's been doing to people. And, you know, that won't give him any weight anymore. But, all right, my dear. So I really appreciate you taking
just
the time.
Hang in there and try to do your best, and that's all you can do.
Yeah, do what's right, and that is all we can do, right? Okay, thank you so much, Willie, for talking to me, okay?
Okay, and you take good care.
Okay, we will. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
So, like I told you, was that right or was I right? I said, Mike, when you hit this lady in room...